Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow saints of God, I want you to imagine that you are the disciple John. You and your brother James have been called by Jesus to follow him. You were part of that inner group of disciples where Jesus would take Peter, James, your brother, and you to witness some impressive things. You personally saw and touched Jesus risen from the dead. And then Jesus sent you out to be his apostle to reach people with the gospel. And that's what you did. John reached and touched people with the message of Jesus Christ as their Savior. But now, the Christian church was being greatly persecuted. John had seen and heard those fellow Christians that he reached out to being murdered. John had heard and seen his fellow disciples killed for their faith. John had heard and seen his own brother James beheaded by King Herod. And John was not immune to this persecution, for he was sent into exile on this small little island called Patmos, and he was there all alone. It must have felt like to John that the Christian church was going to fall. But then Christ appears to him in this revelation, and he shows John that he is victorious and that he would give us the victory for those who believe in him. And John gets just a small glimpse of this glory when he is told they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. But who are these they that are mentioned in this verse? John was actually asked that question, and John couldn't answer it. So the angel told John, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." These people are they who put their faith in Christ. These people are they who have come out of the great tribulation, the great suffering in this world. These people are they who are wearing white robes, being washed by the blood of the Lamb. What a great comfort that would have been for John. For who knows, as he looked out at this great multitude of people, he may have recognized and seen some of the Christians and his other disciples living there in glory. And what a great comfort that is for us as well. For we have all lost loved ones in one way or another. We may have had loved ones who greatly suffered in this life, that they suffered so much that we were praying to God, please just take them out of this world. Or maybe we had loved ones who didn't suffer so much. Maybe we have lost loved ones so suddenly, so tragically, and by an accident. Or maybe we lost loved ones when we knew it was coming. Maybe for some of us, we had loved ones that because of their old age and a mental disease, they no longer remembered us. Or maybe we lost loved ones who were so young that they didn't even have a chance to have a memory of us. But here's the great comforting message, that whoever believes and is baptized is saved. Therefore, even those loved ones who may not have had a memory of us anymore, God remembered them. Those that passed away suddenly or not, God knew when the time was right. And God has taken our loved ones out of this world of suffering into a place of heavenly bliss. Therefore, our loved ones who believed in Christ and preceded us in death are included in these they that are mentioned here, that they are with God. And think of how comforting that one word is, are. This passage does not say they aren't before God, but it should. Our sins separate us from God. Even if we commit just one little sin, we are worthy of God's condemnation. And there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But all are justified freely through the grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ bridged the gap that separated us from God. His blood purifies us from all sin. Therefore, we can say that they are with God. Also, this passage does not say that they might be with God. Could you just imagine if God told us all these things about heaven, but he never told us how to get there? What great sorrow we would have when we lose a loved one. Can you just imagine a person coming to you with tears flooding down their eyes, asking you, "Where is my loved one?" And you had to say, "I don't know." The only comfort we would have is by saying, "I hope that they're in heaven." But Christ is our guarantee. Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Therefore, everyone who believes in him comes to the Father." And finally, this passage does not say they will be with God. Once again, imagine if God never told us what happened to us when we die. Imagine if God told us that when we died, that was it. That we're just gone and we would no longer exist until Christ would return. Once again, there would be no comfort for us when we lose a loved one. But God removes all of that doubt. God tells us that when we pass away, our souls return to him. Therefore, when our loved ones give up their final breath, their soul is with God. Therefore, we can rejoice that they are before the throne of God. And let's look at that phrase, before the throne of God. How terrifying that phrase should be. If you got a letter in the mail saying that you were called before the throne of a judge, I don't think any of us would be excited. And now how terrifying it should be to be before the throne of God who is holy and just. Scripture says it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God demands perfection. God says, "Be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy." And there is no perfection in holiness to us. We are covered in sin, not only because of the original sin that exists in our nature, but also because of the actual sins that we commit. And even if God were to excuse all the sins that we have done and he would judge us purely on the good deeds that we have done, we still wouldn't be saved. For God says that all of our good deeds are like filthy rags. It would be as if our parents told us to wash the table and we took a dirty, filthy rag and did it. In essence, we're doing the good deed by washing the table, but our parents would look at what we did and find it disgusting. It's the same with our good deeds before God. And that's why God should condemn all of us. But before God should, would, or could condemn us, Christ stood before the throne of God between us and our judge. And Jesus said to the Father, "I will do for you what they cannot do for you. I will step in on their behalf. I will fulfill your law. And that's exactly what Christ did. He left the heavenly throne to become one with us. He fulfilled God's law perfectly. Everything that Christ did, every good deed, was pleasing and acceptable to God. And purely by grace, Christ has given us that perfection and that holiness to us so that we may stand before the throne of God without any fear. And as Christians, we know what God has done for us. We know that Christ is our perfect Savior. And that should only motivate us to turn away from every sin and to strive to be as perfect as Christ is. But here we see just how corrupt we are, for we don't do it. We are so corrupt that we may not even have the desire to turn away from sin and to obey God's command. We can be just like these foolish virgins we heard in the gospel. And instead of living our faith and being prepared for Christ's return, we can be so lazy in our faith that we can treat God's grace as a license to sin and do what we want. Therefore, since we know what God wants from us and we don't do it, since we know that Christ is our perfect Savior and we don't strive to be like Him, how much more should God punish us for what we do? But once again, Christ steps before the throne of God and He intercedes for us. He defends us before our Father in heaven. He says, Lord, You can't punish them, for You have punished Me. I died for them. I shed My blood to cleanse them from all of their sin. I rose to life so that You will declare them not guilty of all of their wrongs. And that's the comfort and the assurance that we have to be before the throne of God. And when that day comes, when we give up our final breath, Christ is there to take us by the hand to bring us to the throne of God, where the Father will not point a finger at us to judge us, but He will wrap His arms around us as our loving Father. Jesus will bring us before the throne of God, where He will bring us to the place that He has prepared for us, that is perfect and full of joy. And when He brings us before the throne of God, the Holy Spirit will remove all sin from us so that we will be perfect and holy as we serve God. And that brings us to the next phrase. It says, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, people, including us, can look at this word serve and think that we're going to be working for God in the same way that we work in this world, that it's going to be no longer fun or enjoyable and such a burden. Or people can look at the fact that we're going to be serving God in His temple, and they can think that heaven is like an eternal church service that will never end, and it's so boring. That's not what heaven is like. Even before sin entered this world, God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden to work it, to serve God by doing so. And it was not a burden for Adam to do this. It was fun and enjoyable. It's only when sin entered the world that work became a burden. And heaven is not an eternal, boring church service. Heaven is described like a wedding banquet. When you are there at a wedding, do you find it to be boring and dull? No. And that's the same with heaven. For listen to these very words that describe what heaven is like. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So as we serve God in His temple, nothing will bother us. Nothing will cause us pain. Nothing will make us shed a tear. For God will remove and wipe away all of those things from us. And there's one more phrase I want us to look at. It says, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. You and I have no idea what eternity feels like, because everything in this world and everything that we experience exists in time. Therefore, we have times of happiness and times of sadness. We have times of peace and times of war. We have times of joy and times of mourning. We have times of birth and times of death. Even the happiest time in your life, when everything was going well and it felt like nothing could bring you down, even that joy didn't last forever. But not so with heaven. Even if you could imagine the happiest time in your life when everything was going well and nothing could bring you down, even if you could imagine that joy pales in comparison to the joys of heaven. For the joys of heaven last forever. The joys of heaven are unending and unceasing. The joys of heaven are beyond our comprehension. And most important, the joys of heaven are waiting for you and our loved ones who believed in Christ, who have preceded us in death, are enjoying those joys of heaven right now. Therefore, what a great comfort this would have been for the disciple John. For he had heard and seen Christians being killed for their faith. He was in an exile by himself in a small island, and it must have felt like the church was going to fall. But then Christ comes in this revelation to show that he and his believers are victorious. He saw all of these people come out of the great tribulation and washed in the blood of the Lamb and were wearing white robes. And one day, we too will join with them so that all of us are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Nicene Creed, which you will find on page 31 in front of your hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.